إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد dear brothers and sisters our topic for tonight is are we really truthful يقول الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه العزيز كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس You are indeed the best nation that was sent forth for the goodness of mankind. The question is, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honor this ummah? Without a doubt, this ummah has been given a special status by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the question is, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give this ummah that special status? Is it because of their race? Is it because of their status? Is it because of their color? Is it because they were Arab? What is the reason? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honor this ummah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not keep us wondering. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies in the same ayah the reason for honoring this ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, After kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas, you are indeed the best nation that was sent forth for the goodness of mankind. تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ يَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ You command the doing of good, you forbid the doing of evil, and you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that you are honored because of these good qualities that you possess. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He honors people, He honors them for qualities, for good virtues that they possess, and for good deeds that they do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give a special status for people based on race or color or ethnicity. And therefore, this need to be clear in our mind that if we are to restore that special status that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given for us, we have to possess those qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And among those good qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves is as-sidq, truthfulness. So the question is, what do we know about as-sidq or truthfulness? You know what is the greatest thing about this quality, as-sidq? The greatest thing about this quality, as-sidq, is that it is one of the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, Allah la ilaha illa huwa la yajma'annakum ila yawm al-qiyamati la rayba fih wa man asdaqu min Allahi haditha. Allah, save whom there is no deity that is worthy of worship, will surely gather you all together on the day of resurrection, the coming of which is beyond all doubt. And whose word could be truer than Allah's word? So this is one of the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a matter of fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He said, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا, He is absolutely negating that anybody could in any way be truer than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in speech. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, and this was part of his sermons, part of the sermons that he used to give every week. He used to say, إِنَّ أَصْدَقَ الْحَدِيثِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ As Imam Ahmad and Imam Muslim recorded that the most truthful speech is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the evidence for this truthfulness you can witness in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In every word of it, in every expression of it, in every meaning that is there, you can witness that there is no one who is truer than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His speech. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has attributed sadaq to himself, truthfulness to himself. And then we find that this good quality is the quality of all the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected and elected. So these are the elite, and it is one of their qualities, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, Yusufu ayyuha as-siddiq, Yusuf, O you most truthful one. And وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا. Again, attributing صدق to Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِسْمَاعِيلَ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَادِقَ الْوَعْدِ وَكَانَ رَسُولًا نَبِيًّا. He was true in his promise. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِدْرِيسَ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا. Again, attributing this beautiful quality to Prophet Idris alayhi salatu wasalam, and of course our Prophet. As a matter of fact, the qualities of the Prophet were a sign or the proof from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people that shows the validity of the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَمْ لَمْ يَعْرِفُوا رَسُولَهُمْ فَهُمْ لَهُمْ مُنْكِرُونَ. Or is it that they don't know their messenger, they don't know this messenger, and therefore they deny him. So had they really known him, had they known his qualities, among of which Sadiq is, they would have believed in him. And all of you know that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam first declared his mission, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ وَرَحْتَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. This was part of the Quran, but it was abrogated. The only part of it that is still in the Quran is, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. خَرَجَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ حَتَّى صَعْدَ الصَّفَا فَهَتَفَ يَا صَبَاحَاهُ فَقَالُوا مَنْ هَذَا فاجتمعوا إليه قال أرأيتم إن أخبرتكم أن خيلا تخرج من سفح هذا الجبل أكنتم مصدقية قالوا ما جربنا عليك كذبا قال فإني نذير لكم بين يدي عذاب شديد. So this is so powerful in its impact, because basically it left no excuse for anyone to reject the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him, warn the closest of your relatives. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended at the Safa Mount, and he called loudly his people, saying, Ya Sabaha. He's warning them. And when they heard the voice, they said, who is this? And they were told that this is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they gathered. Now the first thing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, that أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَخْبَرْتُكُمْ. What if I were to tell you that there are a band of people or an army heading to attack you? Would you believe me? And they said, مَا جَرَّبْنَا عَلَيْكَ كَذِبًا. We never experienced a lie from you. قَالَ فَإِنِّي نَذِيرٌ لَكُمْ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ عَذَابٍ شَدِيدٍ. So then when they told him this, he said, then I want to declare to you that I'm a warner to you. And he declared his mission sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a prophet from Allah. So you tell me, did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leave a room for any excuse for these people? Because he was known for his truthfulness, and anybody who is objective and who is sane would come to the conclusion that this is the messenger of Allah, as Hiraql did. Because Hiraql, when Abu Sufyan came to him, he asked him several questions, and one of them was, وسألتك هل كنتم تتهمونه بالكذب قبل أن يقول ما قال؟ فذكرت أن لا، فقد أعرف أنه لم يكن ليذر الكذب على الناس ويكذب على الله. He said, and this is in Bukhari, I further asked you whether he was ever accused of telling lies before he said what he said, before claiming prophethood. And your reply, and this is the reply of Abu Sufyan, who was then one of the leaders of the disbelievers. Your reply was in the negative. So I wondered how a person who does not tell a lie about others could ever tell a lie about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the only thing that makes sense, that somebody who has always been truthful when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and telling things about Allah, he will be even more truthful. So here is one person who has submitted to this truth because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has established the evidence and has proved that the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala true beyond any doubt. And here you go again, and this is to prove to you that how truthful was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said to say something about his quality, and one of them truthfulness. When he first met Jibreel and he told him اقرأ, and he said ما أنا بقارئ, and he was scared. He went back home shaking and trembling. فرجع بها صلى الله عليه وسلم ترجف بوادره حتى دخل على خديجة فقال زملوني زملوني فزملوه حتى ذهب عنه الروع. قال لخديجة أي خديجة مالي لقد خشيت على نفسي. فأخبرها الخبر. قالت خديجة كلا أبشر، فوالله لا يغزيك الله أبدا، فوالله إنك لتصل الرحم وتصدق الحديث وتحمل الكل وتكسب المعدوم وتقري الضيف وتعين على نوائب الحق. Aisha told the Prophet said, and this hadith is in Bukhari and it is narrated by Aisha. She said that when the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned back with that experience of first revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his muscles between his neck and shoulders were trembling till he came upon Khadija and he said, cover me, and she covered him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when his fear was over, he told Khadija radiyallahu anha, oh Khadija, what is wrong with me? I was afraid that something bad might happen to me. This was his first experience, and it is not something usual that one receives a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he told her the story. Khadija, with her fitra, she said, have a good news. By Allah, Allah will never disgrace you. For by Allah, you keep good relations with your kith and kin. You speak the truth. And this is the point. This is, by the way, a truthfulness is a necessary quality of every prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because a prophet cannot lie. Because this is, the Prophet is the channel through which revelation comes. And this channel must be clear, in a sense that this Prophet cannot lie, otherwise this will affect negatively on the message in itself. Abdullah ibn Salam was one of the scholars of one of the major rabbis of the Jews of Al-Madinah. When he heard of the arrival of the Prophet ﷺ to the Medina, he went and he saw the Prophet ﷺ and he heard some of what he said. And he said, فَجِئْتُ فِي النَّاسِ لِأَنظُرْ فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنْتُ وَجْهَهُ عَرَفْتُ أَنَّ وَجْهَهُ لَيْسَ بِوَجْهِ كَذَّابٍ. He said, when I looked at his face, I knew that this is not a face of a liar. and he believed. And he was one of their noble leaders and their most learned scholars. And when he saw the qualities of the Prophet ﷺ, and the most important of which is the fact that he is not a liar. He believed in Rasulullah ﷺ. Dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. All you who believe, fear Allah, have taqwa, be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and be with the truthful ones. Be with those who are true to their word, true to their covenant, true to their promises, true to their covenant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this ayah really divided people into two major classifications. The first is I'm jumping. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here in this ayah is commanding us to be with the company of those who are truthful, who are true to their word and true to their covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, وَالْمَرْءُ عَلَى دِينِ خَلِيلِ فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِفُ. That the person will follow the religion, the way of life, and the deen of his close friend. So beware of those whom you select as friends. And this is very important, because the friends have more influence on their friends than the fathers on their children. And therefore, people should be really careful in selecting their own friends. So this command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be with the company of those who are sadiqeen implies that we search for them, and we know who is the sadiq and who is not the sadiq. So we should have the ability to discriminate between the sadiqeen and those who are not sadiqeen. And this also implies that we avoid the company of those who have a quality that is contrary to sadaq, that is kadhib, that is lying. So there are three things that we can understand from this ayah. Number one, to be with the sadiqeen. Number two, to know what is sadaq and what are the signs of sadiqeen. And number three, to avoid those who are kadhibin, those who are liars. So again comes the question, what is sadaq and who are the sadiqeen? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, لِيَجِزِيَ اللَّهُ الصَّادِقِينَ بِصِدْقِهِمْ وَيُعَذِّبَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ إِنْ شَاءَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may reward the truthful ones by the merit of their truthfulness, or by the merit of their truthfulness, and يُعَذِّبَ الْمُنَافِقَ إِنْ شَاءَ, and he punished the munafiqeen if he wills. Now in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has divided the people into two major classifications. One is as-sadiqeen and one is al-kazibeen. So one either belong to this or to this. It is either day or night. And people are either sadiqeen or munafiqeen. And either closer to this group or closer to this group. So one be closer to the group of sadiqeen when one have more of the qualities of the sadiqeen, and one become closer to al-munafiqeen when one have more of the characteristics of al-munafiqeen. So basically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah is telling us that the foundation of iman is as-sadaq, truthfulness, and the foundation of an-nifaq, hypocrisy, it is lying. So if you are to imagine that iman is a mansion, if you go down to the foundation, you find that it is It is as-sadaq, it is truthfulness. The foundation is the truthfulness. If you imagine kadhib is a crooked building, you go down to the foundation, you find it is nifaq. So from nifaq grows what? Lying. And from iman grows sadaq. And this is something that we understand understand from this ayah. ليجزي الصادقين بصدقهم ويعذب المنافقين إن شاء. Again, we need to know who are الصادقون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran praised the people of righteousness, and He mentioned the best of their deeds of Iman, Islam, and charity, and perseverance. And then He told us, those are الصادقون. Listen to what it takes in order to for the person to be truthful, or to be really truthful in the Quranic sense. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّ وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ ولكن البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين وآت المال على حبه ذوي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل والسائلين وفي الرقاب وأقام الصلاة وآت الزكاة والمفون بعهدهم إذا عاهدوا والصابرين في البأساء والضراء وحين البأس أولئك الذين صدقوا وأولئك هم المتقون. See what does it take for the person in order for a person to be among the people of Sadaq. Allah says that righteousness is not in turning your faces towards the east or the west. However, righteousness is to believe in Allah, the last day, the angels, the book, and the prophets. And it is to give to spend in charity however much one love it to the close relatives, to the orphan, to the poor, and to the wayfarer, and to those who ask for it, and to free slaves. And piety is in, or righteousness is, to establish the prayer, to give the zakah, and to fulfill one's covenant of promise when they promise, and to be persevere with patience and endure with patience in the adversity and in time of hardship, and in وحين البأس, during the time of distress. أولئك الذين صدقوا, those are the truthful ones. Those who have prove themselves to be true, and it is they who are conscious of Allah, the people of taqwa. So it is not really simple to be from as-sadiqeen. It requires a lot of efforts, okay? And also this means, and this is something that is very important to keep in mind, that the meaning of as-sadiq is very deep. It's not only to speak the truth. It is very deep. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this ayah the people of birr, the people of righteousness. And He praised them, and He mentioned the best of their qualities, and then He said that these are the sadiqeen. Now, and again here, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says وَحِينَ الْبَأْسِ وَالصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَحِينَ الْبَأْسِ, and those who are patient in misfortune and hardship, and in the time of distress. Now, this shows that the time, trying times, the trials and the tribulations, they divide people into two groups, صادقين and كاذبين, believers and munafiqeen. Because this time, the time of tribulations, the time of trials, reveal reveals the genuine characteristic of the people. Okay, and therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Do people think to be left alone on saying that we believe and they are not tested? Indeed, we have tested those people who were before them, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may know those who are true to their word and those who are lying. The ayah, as you can see, it makes a connection between sadaq and righteousness. Very strong connection. And here is a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that was recorded by Imam Ahmad and Imam Muslim and Tirmidhi, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also connects sadaq with righteousness. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, عليكم بالصدق فإن الصدق يهدي إلى البر وإن البر يهدي إلى الجنة وما يزال الرجل يصدق ويتحرى الصدق حتى يكتب عند الله صديقا. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, adhere to truthfulness because truthfulness leads to piety and piety leads to Jannah. A man persists in speaking the truth and being true to his word, and we are going to talk about the all the meanings that are included in the sadaq until he is written in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a truthful one. And kadhib, lying, leads to vice and wickedness, and vice leads to the hellfire. A person lies and keeps lying until he is written in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a major liar. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is commanding us to always be truthful, to always speak the truth, to always be true to our word, true to our promise. And being steadfast upon this path leads us, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, to a good quality, that is quality of bir, righteousness. And righteousness, al-bir, ismun jami'an lil-khayrat. Our scholars, they say that al-bir ismun jami'un li jami'i al-khayrat, that it is a comprehensive quality that includes all that is good. Okay, so this the exerting effort in being truthful leads the person to this quality, and this quality leads person to the to become in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Siddiq. Siddiq is the highest rank, with the exception or barring the rank of prophethood. As-Siddiqiyya is the highest rank of Iman, barring the rank of a prophethood, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصَّدِّقِينَ. That whoever obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger will be in the company of those people who earned or who upon whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed His bounty from the prophets and those who are Siddiqeen. How to translate Siddiq? Is there any word for Siddiq? Or the English language is short from generating a word like a Siddiq?
Lane's lexicon says that a Siddiq is the one who is true in word and deed.
Okay. No, I want one word. So there is, okay. So there is no word, and we have an expert, mashallah, to really express the word Siddiq, but you could say that a Siddiq is the person who is most truthful, a person who believes in all that is revealed from Allah and in all the reports from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, without hesitation and without doubting and without questioning, he believes in all of them, all these reports, whether he comprehends them or not, whether they make sense to him or not, and whether they agree with his likes and likes or not. The as-siddiq is the one who is true to Allah, true to his covenant with Allah, true to his promise, the one who upholds the truth and never deviates from it. Truth, the as-siddiq is the person who is truthful inwardly and outwardly. It is a person for whom truth has become his second nature. This is the truthful, the as-siddiq. So you have to explain it. And instead of explaining this word, you take models for it, and you remember who is called as-siddiq in our ummah, okay, and why he was called as-siddiq. Abu Bakr as-siddiq, he used to believe. That's he said it, I believe it. Now we say, I see it, I believe it. Okay? But Abu Bakr's logic was, he said it, I believe it. That's all it takes for him to believe, is to know that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it. They told him that Rasulullah claimed that he went to Jerusalem in last night. He said, if he said it, I believe it. And he was called as-siddiq. He completely believed in everything that is in the Quran and the Sunnah, and he is true to his word, to his covenant with Allah, and truthful inwardly and outwardly. So this is a very, very high rank. Now, so this is how it takes to be a Siddiq, just for the person to really strive in speaking the truth and being true to his words and his promises, and adhere to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believe in whatever they contain. Now, Allah ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla said in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّدِّيقُونَ. So you may feel it's very simple that Allah said, those who believe in Allah and His messengers, these are the most truthful ones. But what I explain is a lot more than just believing in Allah and His messenger. No, it is not a lot more. Here when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ أُولَٰئِكُمُ الصَّدِّيقُونَ, it means those who believe in Allah and His messengers in the true sense, in reality, those who, and completely, those are the Siddiqun. So anyone who want to attain to this rank, the way is, inshallah, clear. There is nothing that stand between us and reaching the highest ranks, except our own shortcomings, except our own laziness, except our own reluctance. But if we are to have the ambition to target the highest ranks in paradise, the way is open for us. And by the way, do you know that we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day in our prayer to make us among the Siddiqeen? Do you know that or not? You pray every day to Allah to make you among the Siddiqeen. You know that? Every day, at least 17 times. You have, it is an obligation. Because in every salah we say, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم, right? Oh Allah, show us the straight path, the path of those upon whom you bestowed your bounty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified for us about those people. He said, وَمَنْ يُطَعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولُ فأولئك مع الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين. So we pray to be from as-siddiqeen and from the salihin and from the shuhada every time we say ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim. Dear brothers and sisters, the hadith continues to say وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالْكَذِبُ فَإِنَّ الْكَذِبَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْفُجُورِ. Beware of lying, because lying leads to wickedness or vice, and al-fujur is opposite to birr. Al-birr ismun jami'un لِجَمِيعِ الْخَيْرَاتِ, and al-fujur is ismun shami'un لِجَمِيعِ الْشَّرِ. That it is fujur is a characteristic that includes all the evil. وَإِنَّ الْفُجُورَ يَهْدِي إِلَى النَّارِ. Fujur leads to the hellfire. وَلَا يَزَالُ الرَّجُلُ يَكْذِبُ وَيَتَحَرَّ الْكَذِبَ حَتَّى يُكْتَبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَذَّابًا. The person lies and keeps on lying until he is written in the sight of Allah as a major liar. So we know that lying is opposite to being truthful. And therefore, in order for us to understand the full meaning of lying, we have to understand the full meaning of being truthful. We have to understand what is lying, because by avoiding lying, we can become truthful. The liar is a person who has a problem with reality, and therefore he tried to turn away from it in one way or another. So basically it is a person who has a problem with the truth and reality. The liar is a person who can make the non-existence existent, meaning he lies, he creates things out of nothing, and he can make the thing that exists as non-existent. So there is no limit for what the liar can do, because he is not dealing with reality. So he can create any lie, fabricate any story, and whether it is good or bad, he can do whatever he wants. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, we find that truthfulness is the foundation of iman. And when it comes to a'mal al-qulub, the good deeds of the heart, it is at the core of the a'mal al-qulub. So sidq is a basic quality, a basic act of the heart. And when it comes to kadhib, we find it at the core of the major sins, like showing off, riyah, ujub, kibr, arrogance, fakhr, boastfulness, batar, ashar. All of these major lies, we find that lying is the core of it. And lying also, there are different levels of lying. Now, the worst level of lying is what? Lying against Allah. This is number one, because people lie against Allah. Anybody who attributes something that is false to Allah, he's lying against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the worst thing. It is worse than shirk. You know that? To lie against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَن تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, is worse again than shirk. Because shirk is nothing but part of lying against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So lying against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could be a broad meaning under which we can classify shirk, and therefore it is very bad. And comes after that, and of course there are many verses, وَمَنْ أَظَّلُ مِنْ إِفْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا. Who is worse than the one who invent a lie against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So it is one of the greatest ظلم. قل إنما حرم ربي الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن والإثم والبغي والبغي بغير الحق وأن والبغي والإثم والبغي وأن تقول والإثم والبغي بغير الحق وأن تقول على الله ما لا تعلمون. وأن تشرك بالله ما لم ينزل به سلطانا وأن تقولوا على الله ما لا تعلمون. So this is like this is in order. In order, it is in descending order. The worst is at the bottom, and the worst comes after shirk. It is وأن تقولوا على الله ما لا تعلمون. So there are many evidence in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that shows that lying against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the worst lie. And comes after that immediately is lying against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the Prophet is not like any of us. The Prophet is someone who is conveying a message from Allah. So to invent a lie about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is bad. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna kathiban alayya laysa ka kathiban ala ahad." That the person who lies against me is not like someone who lies against anyone. Rather, it is dangerous, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam conveys rules and regulations, conveys to us legislations, and therefore to attribute something, it is also to like accuse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he said something and he did not say. And therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man kadhaba alayya muta'ammidan falyatabawwa maq'adahu min an-nar." Whoever lies, whoever invents lie against me on purpose, let him prepare him for a place in the hellfire. The third type of lying is lying against people, and you know how bad a lie can be. You know the lie that was fabricated against Aisha radiallahu anha, and the big trial that the believers went through because of this lie. So a lie can cause a fitna, can create a chaos in a community, can cut off relationship, and therefore we are to be truthful in all our actions, in all our transactions, even in selling and buying. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made all the blessings of the transaction condition on how truthful we are. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as al-Bukhari recorded, that al-bayyani bil-khiyari ma lam yatafarraqa, fa in sadaqa wa bayyana burika lahuma fi bay'ihima, wa in kadhaba wa katama muhiqat barakatu bay'ihima. That the buyer and the seller, the transaction is revocable until they depart from one another. If they were truthful, if they spoke the truthful and disclose all the defects or relevant information related to the transaction, Allah will bless their transaction. But if they conceal and lie, Allah will take away the blessing of their buying. So, and therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something that you may, it sound strange to you. He said, "At-tujjar humul fujjar," that tujjar are the wicked ones. Why? Because the dominant characteristic of the people who are in business is that they make some lies with their business. They just stretch the truth, and this stretching depends on how muttaqi they are. But it includes, and this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-tujjar hum al-fujjar." Now, you see, one form is of lying is when we rule by suspicion, and therefore we are commanded to avoid suspicion. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna fanna akdabul hadith." Okay, so it is a form of lying. Adhan, suspicion, is the most lying of all speech, and also exaggeration is a form of lying. Sometimes we exaggerate something that can be said in 4 minutes. Okay, people sometimes say in 4 hours. So what is this extra time they take? What is this? It's exaggeration. So sometimes exaggeration is a form of lying. To tell someone who believe your brother who is believing your hadith, okay, a lie. This is the worst khiyana in the sight of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كَبُرَتْ خِيَانَةً عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تُحَدِّثَ أَخَاكَ حَدِيثًا هُوَ لَكَ مُصَدِّقُ وَأَنْتَ عَلَيْهِ كَاذِبٌ. That it is the greatest betrayal to tell your brother something for which he is believing and in which you are lying. And here there is a very important point that is noteworthy, and that is about making an oath. I have noticed that in many cases where somebody asks his brother to make an oath to prove for him that such and such is correct and right, that the person will make an oath, but his oath will be according to a hidden intention, okay, in which he intend that something else is correct, but he is not referring to the subject for which your brother asked you to make an oath. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. So you tell me, make an oath that this is yours. So the brother will intend that his car outside is his. He say, wallahi, it is mine. Okay, and his intention is the car outside. Okay, but this is lie. This is a lie. And here the intention does not come. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has clearly stated, when the person is sold for making an oath, he will make an oath based on the intention who is seeking that oath. So this resolves the problem. There is a clearly hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam state al-halfu ala niyyat al-mustahlif, that making an oath can only be done based on the intention of the person who is seeking oath. Otherwise there is no meaning of making oath, right? It will be a vain talk. If anybody can make an intention about something that is correct and that's true and may make an oath, then making oath will not be part of the Islamic judicial system at all, because it makes no sense whatsoever. Now let's talk more specifically about sadaq, dear brothers and sisters, and here we come to the most important part of a sadaq. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, I really was shocked years ago when I came before one of the verses of the Quran. Even though I memorized it for a long time, but when I was sitting listening from my brother reciting the Quran and he came across this ayah, it is as though I'm hearing it for the first time. Before hearing this ayah, I used to think that sadaq is to tell the truth and that's it. Then the brother was reading the Quran and he said, للفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم وأموالهم يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا وينصرون الله ورسوله أولئك هم الصادقون. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. He's talking about the most righteous people after the prophets. Okay, the muhajirin. He says to the poor. To is referring to the war games. To the poor. Al-Muhajirin, the immigrants who were driven out of their homes and their wealth, seeking the goodly acceptance from Allah and His pleasure, and they support the cause of Allah and His Messenger, those are the truthful ones. So see how deep the meaning of sadaq. So sadaq is not only to speak the truth, rather sadaq is in being true to your speech, to your word, true to your action, to your covenant of Allah, true in the condition of your heart. Three things: truthfulness in speech, truthfulness in action, truthfulness in the condition of one's heart. Truthfulness in action is to tell the truth. And we know a major story from the story of the companions radiallahu anhum, and that is the story of the three people who were left behind. They chose not to set out in the expedition with the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when Rasulullah came back, the people who stayed behind from the munafiqeen, who did not join the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with this major endeavor, the munafiqeen went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Wallahi, wallahi, wallahi," lying to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted from them their zahir, what appears from them, because this is the way we deal with people according to their appearance. But these three people, they had a choice, and here comes the definition of being true to your word, okay, or truthful in your speech, and that is أن تصدق في موطن لا ينجيك فيه إلا الكذب. To be truthful in a situation where your only salvation or escape is to lie. This is when you should be truthful. So this is important to be truthful even at this point. So these people, they had two choices, either to lie to the Prophet ﷺ or to be truthful and be shunned by the believers. They preferred to be shunned and to be truthful because this is Iman. The other choice is the choice of Nifaq. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has repented them, inshaAllah. This requires a whole lecture, the hadith of the three people who stayed behind the Prophet ﷺ in Ghazwat what? Tabuk. Okay, jazakallah khairan. So truthfulness in speech, truthfulness in action, and this implies closely following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we are true to our word, la ilaha illallah, through our covenant with Allah, we should really follow the Messenger of Allah, as simple and as clear. Truthful in action, in the condition of the heart, which means we should be sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we say la ilaha illallah, this requires that our submission is to Allah alone. This requires sincerity and purity of intention, and having all our actions of worship dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So in reality, sadaq is to be sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be completely surrendering or in compliance with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Two ayahs that shows the depth of sadaq and being true to our word. The first ayah I've already mentioned, للفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم وأموالهم يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا. The second one is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله ثم لم يرتعبوا وجاهدوا بأموالهم وأنفسهم في سبيل الله أولئك هم الصادقون. Are we really truthful? Yani when you hear the first one and this one, إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله ثم لم يرتابوا. Indeed, the believers are those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they never doubt. وجاهدوا بأنفسهم بأموالهم وأنفسهم في سبيل الله, and they strive by their wealth and by their themselves in the way of Allah. Those are the truthful ones. So this is a question. If this is what it takes to be truthful, are we really truthful? Now, kathib also, as we said, lying, being truthful is in action, in statement, in action, in the condition of the heart. And lying could be also in statement, and in action, and in the condition of the heart. Part of lying in the condition, concerning the condition of the heart, when someone so show of humbleness that does not exist in his heart, show insincerity that which is not matched by the heart, show of zuhd that does not match the condition of his heart, and so on and so forth. This is a form of lying. This is an example about a lying, and that is in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُهُ وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. So they are saying that Munafiqun is coming to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hypocrites coming to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying that we bear witness that you are the Messenger of Allah. Allah is saying, "Wallahu ya'lamu innaka rasulun." Allah knows that you are His Messenger. Wallahu yashhadu innal munafiqina lakadhibun. And Allah bears witness that the hypocrites are liars. So where is their lying? Since their testimony is truthful, they are saying, coming to the Prophet, and they are saying that you are the Messenger of Allah. Is this true or not? Truthful. But Allah is saying, وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ. It is in the condition of the heart. They are saying that which they don't believe in reality. So dear brothers and sisters, we don't have much time. In the end, in the hereafter, the only thing that benefits the person is his sadaq, is his truthfulness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, قال الله هذا يوم ينفع الصادقين يوم ينفع الصادقين صدقهم لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه ذلك الفوز العظيم. On the day of judgment, Allah will say, today their truthfulness shall benefit all who have been true to their word. Theirs shall be gardens through which running rivers flow, therein to abide forever. Well pleased is Allah with them, and well pleased are they with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the supreme triumph. So do you want this al-fawz al-azim? Do you want that? Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one hadith of his, he made all the falah dependent on the truthfulness. He said about a person who came and he said, I'm going to abide by the obligations of Allah. I will never add anything and will never miss anything. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, aflaha in sadaq, that he is successful if he is truthful, if he is true to his word. Because this is a big if and big condition. But all the success, all the falah is based on it in the hereafter. In our history, there are many examples. One of them is the example about which the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was revealed, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا هَدَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. Among the believers are men who have always been true to what they have vowed before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and among them are such as have already redeemed their pledge by death, and such as yet await its fulfillment without having changed their resolve in the least. This is this what I was revealed in the case of Anas ibn al-Nadr, and all of you remember his story. He is a man who realized that he missed the honor of attending the Battle of Badr, and this was a special occasion. And then he pledged. He said that لَئِنِ اللَّهُ أَشْهَدِنِي قِتَالَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ لَيَرَيَنَّ اللَّهُ مَا أَصْنَعُ. He said, if Allah allows me to witness another fight with the pagans, only Allah will see what I will do. That's it. This is all the pledge he said. Of course, you look at our condition nowadays, and you see how much we promise, how much we pledge, how much we say, how much we plan, how much, yani our words, our promises, unfortunately, they don't have any weight. But this person said just one word, but the result, when during the battle of Badr, when the Muslims were defeated, and everybody or most a lot of people started fleeing, this person, he marched forward and he said, "Allahumma inni a'tadiru ilayka mimma sana'a haula," يعني أصحابه, وأبرأ إليك مما صنع هؤلاء يعني مشركين. ثم تقدم فاستقبله سعد بن معاذ فقال يا سعد, الجنة ورب الكعبة ورب النضر, إني أجد ريحها من دون أحد. قال فما استطعت يا رسول الله صنع ما صنع أنس. قال أنس فوجدنا به 84 ضربة بالسيف أو طعنة برمح أو رمية بسهم, ووجدناه قد قتل وقد مثل به المشركون, فما عرفه أحد إلا أخته ببنانه. قال أنس كنا نرى أن هذه الآية نزلت فيه وفي أشباه من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه, فمنهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم من ينتظر وما بدلوا تبديلا. He said, "Oh Allah," when everybody start fleeing, he said, "Oh Allah, excuse these people, meaning Muslims, for what they have done, and I'm clear from what the pagans have done." Then he went forward with his sword and met Sa'd ibn Mu'adh and said to him, "By the Lord of the Kaaba, I can smell the fragrance of Jannah from a place closer than Uhud Mount." O Messenger of Allah, Sa'd said, "O Messenger of Allah, what he did was beyond my power." Anas said, "We saw over 80 wounds on his body caused by stabbing, striking, and shooting of arrows and spears. We found that he was killed and mutilated by the pagans." Nobody was able to recognize him except his sister because of his thumb. Anas said that we used to believe that this ayah was revealed concerning Anas ibn al-Nadr and the like of him. Dear brothers and sisters, there are many stories we can mention about the truthfulness of the first generation. One of them is about a man to whom his share of the world gain was given, and he said that to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that مَا تَبِعْتُكَ عَلَى هَذَا, I never followed you for this, وَإِنَّمَا اتَّبِعْتُكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ أُقَاتِلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَيُصِيبَنِي سَهْمٌ هَا هُنَا فَأَمُوتُ فَأَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ. فقال رسول الله, إِنْ تَصْدُقِ اللَّهَ يَصْدُقْكَ. وفي المعركة التالية جيء وقد أصيب بسهم في المكان الذي أشار إليه, فقال الرسول, أهو هو؟ قالوا نعم. قال صدق الله فصدقه الله. يعني a man who told the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, "I never followed you for the world came." He said, "Why did you follow me?" He said, "I followed you so that an arrow comes here, and I die for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم told him, "If you are true to your word, Allah will deal with you according to your truthfulness." And in the next battle, they found him exactly in the same manner he described. Found him with an arrow in his exact place where he pointed. And Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, "Is he the same person?" They said, "He is the same person." And then he said, "صدق الله فصدق الله." He said he was truthful with Allah, he was true to his word, and Allah dealt with him according to his truthfulness. And you remember also the story of the person who prayed behind Mu'adh, and Mu'adh made a long prayer. He came to Salat al-Isha late after praying with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he started with Surah Al-Baqarah and read and read and read and read, and the people before him who were praying behind him are mostly farmers, and they are really tired. And one of them decided to separate himself from the Jama'ah. And after that, because it was not conceivable to them that one person pray by himself when the Jama'ah is held. And Mu'adh said that this person have hypocrisy. They took their case to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Afattanun anta Mu'adh? Are you going to cause fitna to people because of this long prayer?" And then he asked the person, "What do you do usually when you pray for yourself? What do you do?" He said, "I just stand and I read Surah Al-Fatiha, and I ask Allah for Jannah, and I ask Him protection from the hellfire. أما إني لا أدري ما دندنتك ودندنت معاذ." He said, "I don't know this long mumbling that you and Mu'adh do. I only ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannah and seek protection from him from the hellfire." And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "حولها نُدَنْدِن." We are mumbling around the same thing. فَقَالَ الْفَتَى, and this is the point, "ولكن سيعلم معاذ إذا قدم القوم وقد خبروا أن العدو قد أتوا." قال فقدموا فاستشهد الفتى. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعد ذلك لمعاذ, "ما فعل خصمي وخصمك؟" قال يا رسول الله, "صدق الله وكذبت, استشهد." So he said in the end, he said one word. He said, "But Mu'adh," meaning the one who accused me of hypocrisy, "will know when the people will come," meaning the pagans, and they learn that the pagans are to attack them. Just he said this word, and at the end of the battle, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Play with Mu'adh. ما فعل خصمي وخصمك? What did my and your opponent did?" He said, "صدق الله." He was true to Allah. وكذبت, and I lied. He was astushid. Now, so this is, dear brothers and sisters, the main point is this is one of the noble qualities that all of us should acquire. Islam did not spread all over the world by the sword. Islam was spread all over the world by the good manners and the good reputation of the Muslim believers, the Muslims. The largest Muslim country became Muslim, that is Indonesia right now, became because of dealing with the Muslim merchant. They saw in them different character. They saw people who are truthful even if they are to lose money. So their principles are clear. Their priorities are clear. Their duty to Allah is above all the business. That when they went, for which they went all the way to Indonesia. So the point is, when we acquire these qualities, when we become truthful, when the Muslims in this land become known for his truthfulness, when we become good ambassadors of Islam in this land, this is when we prosperous, inshallah, become prosperous, in addition to the great reward that wait for the people in the hereafter. أقول قولي هذا وسبحانك اللهم بحمدي أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. We have 5 minutes for questions if you have questions, otherwise inshallah we'll conclude. Islam. Tawriya is to use a word that has double meaning, an obvious meaning that you don't mean, and a hidden meaning that you use in order to cover yourself, to substitute for Allah. Okay? So this is a Tawriya. Allah Ta'ala.
It's called politics.
It's called politics. No, that politics is lying. Politics is lying. It's fabricating. It's fabricating evidence. It's fabricating. Yes, inna ba'd al-dhanni ism. But the dhan that we practice is the ism, is the sin. There is a beneficial type of dhan that the judges use, for example. This is what they call nowadays circumstances, circumstantial evidences. Okay, this is based on dhan. You see, you have evidence, 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 hint here, hint, 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 and this collect to become like circumstantial evidences. Judges use this in Islam to prove something, and therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say all the dhan is rejected. However, when you judge a Muslim based on guesswork or suspicion, no facts, here is what is condemned. So what we mostly practice, the dhan that we mostly practice is condemned. Okay, the dhan that is used for fuqaha and qubad, okay, this is the non-condemned type of one.
This type of
zon
like assumptions.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, assumption, guesswork, suspicion, with no evidence, you don't rule on it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you verify it. Okay, inna akthab al hadith, one. Inna dhanna akthab al hadith. Yeah. Now, with respect to tawriya, we did not finish about tawriya, using the word that has double meaning. The scholars that say this is what is allowed when the person is to speak to his wife, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you may lie a little bit to your wife, okay? And she may lie a little bit to you, because if, for example, the husband is ugly, okay, it is permissible for the wife to tell him that you are the most handsome person in the world. Okay, so this is something, you see, that enhances the relationship between the husband and the wife. So some scholars, they say that in this case lying is permissible, but others say that what is permissible is a tawriya. That is to use double, a word that has double meaning. Okay? Allahu
a'lam. In this situation, if it was the wife,
or I'm sorry?
Can you use it in other scenarios other than.
Yeah, like in Islah that al-Bayn. Okay? For reconciliation. Okay? There is kind of very, let me say, not smart truthfulness. This is when you know that the war is raging between two brothers, okay, and the heat is intense, and you tell him truthfully exactly all these words that he said about him, okay. So this served contrary to the purpose of truthfulness. Because lying was not prohibited because it is, I'm sorry?
Peacemaking.
No, it's a peacemaking, yeah. But it was not prohibited because it is kaf, than ba. Because it is kelim. Not just because of these three letters.
Rather, it is prohibited because of the adverse effect that can be resulted from lying. Now, if you are in a situation, and these are limited situations, and we cannot make them the main guideline, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the cases that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, here you may magnify certain things, he said, and yes, minimize something he said. Okay. Now, wallahi, he prays for you, for example. Wallahi, your brother is praying for you. Because every Muslim in at tahiyyat you say assalamu ala nabi wa assalamu aish. What we say in
tahiyyat?
He said, wallahi, he prays for you. So, see, this could be the way.
It comes back to the same thing you were saying earlier.
What is it?
It negates the statement itself, the truth.
However, here the difference, what is the difference? The guideline, the green light, was given from whom? From Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the difference. That in relationship where it's very important, bond between the husband and the wife.
Okay, during the war between Muslims and pagans or kuffar, and I say I didn't do it, but I did it.
What?
I say I didn't do it, for instance.
No. If a war takes place, inshallah, we talk about it. I cannot make
sure of it. They let me go. And I'm hoping they let me go if I say I didn't do it, even though I didn't. Would I say, what would be appropriate?
كبيرهم هذا. You see, كبيرهم هذا. If it's from Tawliya, فعله كبيرهم هذا. You know?
We're back to this scene.
Other question. Okay.
I'm tired.
خلاص. Abu Nu'man said time is up. Let's inshallah make an hour. Khair, khair, khair.